The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 7 minutes past 12. Man in line on till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp on 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. It's hoped the Isle of Man will have 500,000 visitors by 2032. 500,000 visitors per year by 2032, creating 5,000 jobs and bringing millions of pounds into the economy. But where are the tourists going to stay? Where will they stay? A scheme to improve existing accommodation has been planned in 2019, but it was put on hold due to COVID-19. Just wonder what your thoughts are on where we're going to put people up and what will attract people, and when they come here, what will they do on the Isle of Man? Let's get to the lines first of all. Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just to follow on from what you were saying there, 500,000 people a year. Now, I don't know the full story, and it's only here on your website. The Wythenshawe amateur football team want to come to the island, as supporters this is, and the club says it chartered an 88-seat aircraft for their game against the Isle of Man on Saturday, only to be told it couldn't secure somewhere at Ronald's Way Airport to leave the plane overnight. Now, if the airport is not secure, what sort of life are we living here on the island? Because I was down there for 25 years and there was aircraft all over the place then, and it's not as if it's nowadays chock-a-block with aeroplanes. You can park the darn things anywhere. And what's it speaks volumes of the almost deliberate decimation of the security services in at Ronald's Way Airport. Is there anybody down there at night, or do they just have one man wandering around, or is this something that's just been brought to light, but nobody's going to be or be prepared to answer?
Interesting, in that obviously this chartered aircraft, this 88-seater, as you say, obviously that would have required insurance, and presumably they asked a routine question of the airport, as in, is this secure, only to be told no. The insurance company would have then said, look, we can't insure the plane, you can't go. It's not saying that Ronald's Way isn't safe. I mean, it's always been safe. But it seems strange that that's happened. And it's tarnished the reputation of FC Isle of Man, because the club has got a great reputation for thousands of people going to matches, and that reputation's spread across the Northwest.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And Football Focus was on the island a couple of weeks ago. So it seems weird that this has happened and that nobody could sort it out, Howard.
Well, it's been quiet, very quiet, from our politicians, who are normally quick to jump on the bandwagon. And I don't know that we have anybody down there now in charge of the ports, because the last fella, the celebrity, he bailed out. Mm. The one before that, she retired, disappeared or otherwise. So who is actually looking after our airport?
Well, I understand they've just appointed an airport director. I don't think it's been made public yet, so I won't mention anything. But I understand there was an interview procedure, and they have selected a candidate now to be the boss of the airport.
Yeah, but was the airport a rudderless ship up until that point? Because they must have had to have somebody there that would take responsibility for it on the interim period. You don't just leave an open house like that, because you've got to have somebody there that is in a responsible position, maybe an interim position, a temporary one, but there would have to be somebody there, because just like Douglas with the harbours and around about, the airport is a very vital part of the island. It's where everybody comes and goes, and if there's nobody sitting at the top saying you must do this, must do that, or let's do this, let's do that, then it makes it questions the ability of the government to run the airport correctly.
And importantly, Howard, it's the first impression that people who've never been to the Isle of Man get, and that first impression is so vital.
It is, very much so. I noticed there the I go down to Castletown most days down that neck of the woods, and I come up past the airport. But and I've noticed they've started tidying the place up a bit, and they're not before time either. They were there cutting the hedges, and you can see part of the grass is cut. But it's the actual function of the airport that has prevented this aircraft being able to stay here overnight. And it's been with the demise of the security. Now, I don't know if they actually have any security or just a firm that looks after the gates, whether there's somebody there 24/7, which there should be. Because I don't know if you can remember, many years ago we put the fence up. A chap walked over from what was the restaurant at the far end of the airport. He walked across the main runway up to the security point up by the main building, took one of the vans, put the flashing light on, and drove into Douglas. He got caught, obviously, at the roundabout up here at Fort North. But, and I don't know whether he'd done time for it, but he certainly got chastised anyway. But that was before the fence went up. But why is this plane, and nobody's getting any reasons why this plane is unable to find somewhere secure? Because there's dozens of planes down there all the time, and they must have some form of insurance that would cover.
Okay. All right. Howard, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right,
now.
Thank you. Well, we hope that the Wythenshawe fans will make it to the Isle of Man to enjoy some Manx hospitality. Mananan does sail from Liverpool tomorrow morning at 11:15. So, no, I beg your pardon. Yes, it is. Liverpool to the Isle of Man tomorrow morning at 11:15, because it's a 7:30 Mananan from Douglas to Liverpool, so she'll be departing Liverpool at 11:15. So the Wythenshawe supporters could get across tomorrow on Mananan, but they wanted to fly and they couldn't. David, hi, David.
Oh, hi, Andy. Is it me?
Yeah. Yes, David, you're away.
Yeah, I just want to support Howard on that particular principle there. It is a ridiculous situation when we have only one airport. It's run by the government. And at the end of the day, the minister's in charge of the DOI, which covers the airport. And there are several political members underneath it. So I don't know why that couldn't be tasked out for somebody to do something about it. Even at this late stage, we have a private jet facility further down near the airport there. We see planes parking up all the time. In fact, I'm just looking at Auckland here, and I'm seeing a helicopter coming over here, probably heading towards the airport, so I hope he's got a spot to land.
It would seem, on the face of it, just a routine thing to organise.
Well, it is. It's the bread and butter business for, never mind a government, an airport to encourage people to come here, because you never know when if there's 80 people coming in, what size plane that would be. You never know where they might have routes for the future, or somebody may organise something, or even we get back into Blackpool Airport there and do a deal. We need to spread the seeds out there and grow them. And I can't see it happening at all. Now, I just want to say one thing before I go, because I'm running out of time, is that I support Alf Cannon regarding the small amount of money that's given to, I'm not speaking on behalf of local authority, but charities, or all the non-for-profit making organisations which can tap into £1,000. And I just want to say that I will be tapping into, or our club will be tapping into, getting back to having a duck race in Port Jack Glen in May, and I will get you a ticket. All right?
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Cheers now. Another David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hello, Andy. Just to follow on from what Howard said, the usual man down the pub story. I was in there last night talking to a chap, and he said, there's no more light aircraft going to be landed at Ronald's Way during TT fortnight. And I thought to myself, if you go to Derby Haven during the latter end of the TT, there must be 20, 30, you've seen a race day, 40 light aircraft. It's a lot of income. So I phoned the airport this morning, spoke to a young lady there, and she said, oh, that's right, yeah, we're not allowing them this year. I said, well, people haven't been to the island for 3 years. This could be one of your busiest years. He said, well, don't complain to me, complain to management.
So, I mean, how true is this, David? I mean, is it a man down the pub is it definite?
No, the man down the pub told me the story. So I phoned the airport at 9 o'clock this morning, and the airport told me definitely no light aircraft, TT Fortnite.
No light aircraft, my word. And
isn't that ridiculous?
It's obviously not common knowledge. Let's just hope nobody sets off without finding out.
Well, exactly, because normally the likes that you'd probably have to book a slot well in advance of they bother to tell people. It's like the fairground the day before they make the announcement. Sorry, Ace, you're not coming to the Isle of Man. Now, that chap's paid for the ferry. He's got people lined up. Did we ever find out what who was the minister in charge and what sort of discussion was had? Or even was there a vote taken to say, don't bring the funfair?
No, we just heard the funfair wasn't coming, and it was our decision, not the funfairs.
Well, that's ridiculous. Could Manx Radio look into who made the decision and what was his thinking, lack of?
All right, we'll certainly take a look at that, David. Thanks for calling anyway, and thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Andy, just before you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Talking of the airport, I'd just like to know how much revenue's been lost because the barriers are broken, you know, for the parking. Is this the same management team that's making all these ridiculous decisions?
Well, that's being, I mean, it's, God, how many spaces do you think there are in the airport? 200?
Probably.
200, yeah. Let's say an average of, I don't know, even if only 50% of them, 100 spaces a day, maybe a fiver a day per space. Let's see, conservatively, £500 a day. That's £3,500 a week, and it's been open how long?
Must be 6 months.
26 times £3,500. That's about how much, let me say, conservatively.
Oh, too much.
Too much. All right, thanks for calling, David. We appreciate that.
All right.
Okay, it's all David's today, another David. Hi, David.
Hello there.
Yes.
David Fisher speaking.
Yes, David.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the discriminatory licensing fee for a driving license, for a renewal of a driving license. Now, it only happens after 66, so I've never had one of these before. But I got a form sent through the post, and basically, if the older you get, the more it costs you, and the less the validity is of that license. Under 66, you get it for 10 years, and it costs you £3.60 a year, or £36. At 66, it costs you it lasts you 9 years, and it costs £3.60. At 67, it's £3.75. 68, it's £3.80. 69, it's £4. At 70, it's £4.20. At 71, it's £4.50. And at 72, it's £5. Now, the validity of it gets a year less on each age. So at 66, it lasts you 9 years. 67, 8 years, and so on. Until you get to 72, it lasts you for 3 years. And you have to renew it after that time. Now, if you do the sums, it's £3.60 per year for under 66, and it's £5 per year for 72 years of age. Now, that is out-and-out discriminatory.
I wonder why that policy is in place. Why could that possibly be there? Is it because of medical grounds, eyesight, or...?
Well, no matter what it's for, it's still discriminatory. You are paying, the older you get, the more you pay, which isn't correct. I'm sure that's illegal. I can understand them possibly bringing down the validity, because as you get older, you get more illnesses and more chances of a medical condition, but not to pay more. Mr. Ashcroft, I wrote to 10 MHKs, and 4 of them deigned to answer. Mr. Ashcroft said... I couldn't understand Mr. Ashcroft's reply. Mr. Hooper said it's to do with the fact that there's more administration for doing it more often for older people. And I said, that's something that's been forced upon older people. That's nothing to do with us. It's to do with you, your administration. And if you didn't have that discriminatory pricing and validity, then that wouldn't happen. And so of the 10 MHKs I spoke to, emailed, and one I spoke to on the phone, Mr. Hooper, four are going to look into it, they say. Tim Glover is apparently the man, and Tim Krukol. Now, I had an email directly back from Tim Glover, who's going to look into it, as is Mr. Henderson, and I think Mr. Hooper is going to look into it as well. But I've heard nothing back. And it's something that could, with all the things that are going on in the world, especially Rollinsway Airport, with all the things that are going on, it might just be forgotten about. And it is discriminatory.
Did you only learn about this? I mean, did it affect you personally? Is that why?
Yes, it affects me personally.
Yeah.
I'm 68 years of age now, so I've never had one of these before. So this may have been going on for a long time, and it's only this point I've got one, and I can see the inequality in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've certainly never heard of it, so I'm grateful for you for raising it. It seems incongruous.
Could I ask if you're less than 66?
Am I less than 66? Yes.
Yeah, you are. Well, therefore, you would never have had one of these. But if you were to get one from the post office, you get them from, you'll see that list. And it's just not fair. That's basically what I'm saying. And also, what happens at 75 years of age? If you only get it for 3 years at 72 and it costs you a fiver a year, what happens at 75? Have we been put out to grass or something? It doesn't actually explain that.
Okay, all right. We appreciate that, David. That's extremely interesting, and I've certainly never heard of that before. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Okay, cheers.
Appreciate it. Oh, Howard's with us again. Hi, Howard.
Oh, yeah, Andy. Yeah, strange enough, I've just renewed my license early on in the year, and that's exactly what happened to me. And I commented to my wife about this. It was, for the 10 years, it would have been £3.60 per annum. But as you come down the scale, as your age goes up, it's £15 for 3 years over a certain age. And that's what I am, because I'm 78. So I've got a license now only for 3 years, and it's cost me £5 per annum. Whereas at 60-odd, it would have only cost me £3.60 per annum. And I said to my wife, and exactly what that man has just said, it is ageism. It's discrimination. And I don't know how they can get away with it. And the DOI sent me the paperwork for it, and it was already on it, already written on the back of it in sections. And I just took that down to the post office down near where I'm living, handed it in with the photograph, which you have to provide nowadays, and they give it to the vehicle people who sent my new license back to me, which I've got now. And they're talking about the work, the paperwork, and everything. They've actually done away with the paperwork. You only get a plastic card now. The paper side of your license has been, well, been removed. And so it's only a plastic card that you get now that you put, well, whatever, somewhere safe, whatever you want to yourself. But that man is quite right in what he says. It is discriminatory. And the Isle of Man government is supposed to be anti-discrimination and anti-this, anti-that, yet they're the perpetrators.
Well, it's certainly crept in under the radar, hasn't it?
Like a lot of other things. They just slide these in gently, and it's a good day for putting out bad news, as they call it. But anyway, it was coincidence that chap came on with that. But what the other fellow was saying about the airport, the light aircraft, people know I worked down there. I was aircraft refueling for 25 years. And when the races were on and the airport was running as it should be, you could get up to 100 light aircraft in there, and they come from Switzerland, France, Germany, all over. And they would be here for the races. And that the airfields, all the grass area, would be cut in preparation for the light aircraft coming in. And we'd be refueling these things to go back to wherever they came from. And that was every day of the race week. And then they had a brainstorm we're not going to allow light aircraft. And I'm retired in 2008, so it was well before that that they decided that they were not going to have any more light aircraft coming in. We want to be a proper grown-up airport. And that was stopped. They get a few coming in now, not many. And even the flying clubs, they've had restrictions put on them. From what I'm led to believe, they're not allowed to operate under a Manx license now. They've got to be under a UK license. And this is CIA, Civil Aviation. But again, it's another one of these things that they slip in, and people don't know about them until exactly now when they want to come in and they want light aircraft. They put the prices up to an exorbitant amount, and it frightens people.
Okay.
And there used to be, well, the East Apron, where they, on the north side of the airport, they used to put all the aircraft over that part of the world over there because they were going back to foreign countries. And they would get their fuel and their various goods duty-free and VAT-free. And that was all part and parcel, and we used to do all that at source. All the aircraft, the airport bosses, managers had to do was open up the airport, and the boys up in the tower, they would look after everything else on the ground. So it's down to management and that word VAD in front of it.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks again.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers now.
Now.
A note in from John, who said, I'm reliably informed that the Glorious Airport is not allowing single-engined aircraft to visit during TT period. Imagine the lost revenue. I thought we were meant to be encouraging visitors here. This needs to be explained by the minister in charge, and I suspect this is a result of the current serious understaffing of air traffic personnel. Is that true? Are they understaffed? We have to have a certain minimum of ATCs at any airport, and certainly the grade that Ronald's Way is, but we don't know officially what that is. Obviously, there is a brand new airport director coming in, so we'll find out from that brand new airport director. Is what Mr. Fisher's claiming about the driving license is correct? It's discriminatory, says Mark, against older people, and as such is against the law, needs to be looked into immediately. If Ronald's Way Airport isn't secure, how can aircraft fly to other airports, says Pete? Well, I think one of the first thing that happened when the new management took over, 15, 20 odd years ago, was they put a fence. Do you remember the fence that went up around Ronald's Way Airport? They did a land swap with King William's College and took one of the rugby pitches away and made the actual airfield a lot bigger, and a big fence went up. Before then, there was no fence, but it was still secure, wasn't it? I wonder what you think about this local authority is being offered up to £5,000 in taxpayer-backed funding to support events in the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. The event is, 2 months away?
The Queen's Jubilee celebrations will go ahead, and I think our communities should look to come together at that particular time.
That's the Chief Minister talking about this. So, taxpayer-backed funding, £5,000 to local authorities to support events marking the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, which is 2 months away. Now, the story about the Isle of Man bringing 500,000 visitors per year when we get to 2032, 5,000 jobs, millions of pounds. But where are they going to stay? A scheme to improve existing accommodation was planned in 2019, was put on hold due to COVID, unsurprisingly. The political member responsible for tourism is Rob Callister, the Onken MHK, and this is how he thinks the government plans to host so many visitors.
I think what we've got to do is we've got some amazing accommodation on the island, but there is some accommodation that needs to be lifted. And we need to have those conversations with the accommodation providers to make sure that we're absolutely, as a tourism destination, that we're actually accommodating for all tastes and for everybody's financial sort of budget and for needs as well. If we go back to 2019, we did have a scheme ready to go, which would have helped accommodation providers to maybe paint the premises, to basically upgrade the foyer areas and to upgrade some of their bathrooms. That obviously was put on hold due to COVID-19. Obviously, as a department, we'll need to look at that again. And I know if we're wanting to reach these ambitious targets, then we are going to have to support our accommodation providers. We do need to, one of the key things we need to do is to make sure that we extend the season as long as we possibly can in order to maximise the income opportunities that these businesses will have in the future.
Now, if this is your business, if you're in the hospitality accommodation business, I'd be really interested to hear what you have to say in response to Mr. Callister. Not all existing hoteliers are convinced. Michael George, a long time involved in the Welbeck Hotel in Douglas, he spoke to Max Radio's Rob Pritchard and says that government needs to make sure visitors will come here before growing the accommodation sector itself. So make sure they get here, then grow.
What we have to do first is create the demand, and once the demand has been created, then perhaps we'll be able to expand the accommodation. Without doing it that way, it'd be very worrying whether it's feasible even.
One of the things that the Department for Enterprise mentioned might be an option in future, creating new builds in terms of hotels and accommodation alongside what's already on the Isle of Man. If that's to become the case, could this in any way damage existing trade for established businesses like yourselves?
Oh, without a doubt. That's why earlier I alluded to the fact that they needed to be very, very careful in the way that they did it and make sure that the demand is there before, and that the accommodation that is here already is treated equitably when they're encouraging these businesses new businesses to appear. I do believe, though, that the Isle of Man is a great destination. It's got lots of growth prospects. One of our underutilized assets, which it refers to in their plan, is the steam packet. You know, I really believe that they should use the steam packet to create great incentive for people, especially during the shoulder periods of the year, where if the industry is to survive as a whole, we're going to have to widen that time frame for when people do come to the Isle of Man. We're not all going to be able to survive on 3-4 good months a year.
One of the things that was mentioned as an option possibly is the idea of maybe upgrading or revamping existing accommodation providers. If that had to be the case, how much support do you think you would need, and how much of a cost would that come to you?
Well, we've been refurbishing and upgrading for the last 44 years. It is expensive. It's getting more expensive in terms of both labour and materials. And even the availability of labour is getting more and more difficult to source. I think all that we'd be looking for is a level playing field. If there are incentives and grants being offered to incoming businesses, then the ones that here should already here should also be able to access them.
Michael George from the Welbeck Hotel. Well, do you think the Isle of Man needs more tourism? Do you think the government should focus on other areas? And as Michael said, do we need to create the demand first and then build the accommodation? Or do we need, as Rob Callister was alluding to build more accommodation and then people will go? Could create 5,000 jobs. Is that good news? Or, again, we virtually have no unemployment on the Isle of Man. The rate is very low. So where are we going to get the workers from? And could more accommodation put existing hotels under pressure? Any thoughts on it? Peter's with us now. Hello, Peter.
Hi. Just a couple of thoughts on a couple of comments that were made a minute ago. One is the government really needs to look at the price of getting here on the steam packets. I mean, the prices are horrendous for a family to come over with a vehicle. And my idea is if they make it cheaper for them to come, then people will spend more money on the island. So that's one point. And then the other point is saying that they want to extend the holiday season, and yet they go and shorten the Manx Grand Prix. So, I mean, I don't know what these people think.
What do you mean? It sounds like a lack of joined-up strategy.
Well, that's typical Isle of Man government, isn't it? You know, when people can send, when one firm can send off their rubbish, if you like, they shred it all themselves, they send it off the island because it's cheaper to send off the island than it is actually put in the incinerator on the Isle of Man. I mean, where's that come from?
Okay, all right, so, we appreciate that. Thanks, Peter.
All right.
Good to talk to you. And let's see, we've got who's with us now? Let's see. Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hello, Andy.
Yes, Mary.
I want to talk to you about the article in the Examiner about antiviral medicine for
yes.
COVID patients.
Yes, by all means.
Well, first and foremost, as the article goes on, that it's for individuals who are eligible for these treatments. And it then obviously refers you to the website. Well, a lot of us elderly people don't have websites for a start. And then should we down in the south of the island test positive for COVID with our lateral flow tests, we have to do several things. We have to ring the GP, first of all. They then decide by looking at our information if we should have antiviral medicine. We then have to go to Crookall Centre to have a PCR test to confirm the COVID positive result. Then we have to go to the antiviral service at Nobles, which is located next to the emergency department, where the doctor then decides whether it has to be in tablet form or an infusion. Now, that's for people who have underlying medical conditions to begin with, who are most probably going to be pretty poorly if they test positive. They live in the south of the island, and that's what they have to do.
It sounds complicated, Mary.
It is. And during the COVID time down here, on the side of the Port Erin surgery appeared some railings and a large some letters on the wall, CATCH, which I discovered meant COVID Assessment and Treatment Community Hub. Now, to my knowledge, I mean, I could be wrong, and I most probably am, but to my knowledge, it's never been used as such for that. So why, for people down in the south, have got to do all that long trek, you know, to get these medicines, these viral things, which presumably are going to keep them alive if they have serious underlying conditions?
How do you think it could be simplified?
Well, if you have to go to your GP initially, there needs to be some kind of hub in the south of the island so that people could get to. If you have to go to your GP initially to confirm that you're eligible, then surely, you know, that should be sufficient. But I mean, this to have to do all that trek for older people and people who will be obviously pretty poorly.
Yes.
I just can't see the logic of it all.
And I don't know. I mean, it's a week ago we were all supposedly set free from COVID, from pandemic to endemic. Mm. But there are many people who do have underlying medical conditions, and this hasn't gone away.
Well, if you actually listen to the numbers you used to give out, you used to mention a fourth vaccination, and there were about 1,600 plus. Well, that is the vulnerable element of the community with the underlying medical conditions. That's about 1,600 people. So if you think about that, if any of those get COVID, this is what they are going to have to do to sort of get the antiviral medicines. And it just doesn't. And I mean, there's 29 people now in hospital with COVID. 14 of them contracted it in Nobles, apparently. 3 more have died. And yet, if there'd been that number in hospital sort of 12 months ago, I mean, the whole island would have been shut down. And I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
To have all these people having to somehow get themselves from right down in the south of the island right the way up to get this antiviral medicine if they're eligible for it.
Mary, I'm grateful that you called today. Thanks for making the point.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. It's 19 minutes before one now.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetters, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Don't believe what?
A small stone just flew off and shattered the conservatory window.
Oh, no problem. I'll call out Manx Glass and Glazing.
Can they fix it?
Yeah. Mum's glass shattered and they soon replaced it.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing supplies and repairs, including broken or failed double glazed units, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
The Queen's Pier Restoration Trust is restoring Ramsay's Pier to preserve its heritage and to make it open to the public once more. You can help to save this historic landmark by making a donation. Whether donating just a pound, paying £75 for a personalised plank, or making a larger donation, we need your support to complete this project. Help to save the Queen's Pier today. Find us on Facebook or email us at qprt@manx.net. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Paul Carey and Sons.
It is said that we cannot live by bread alone, which is just as well, because the recent announcement by Ramsay Bakery that it will be closing by the end of the month means that supply of bread to our supermarket shelves will become substantially less certain from the 1st of May. With the UK being only 60% self-sufficient in food and the war in Ukraine likely to significantly reduce global milling wheat supplies, Perspective explores whether government is doing enough to ensure supplies of fresh Manx bread. That's this Sunday at 12 noon with me, Phil Gorn, on Manx Radio. Nothing half-baked about Sunday's show.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks for getting involved today. Lots of stories. Let's just clear that up about the antivirals. Eligibility for antiviral treatment for those at greater risk of becoming seriously ill with COVID-19 is determined by GPs. Suitability will then be assessed by patient's health status. Obviously, Manx Care will offer those antiviral meds in either tablet or intravenous form in an infusion for those who are already confirmed as having the virus via a PCR test. So if that's something, and that's a really good point made by Mary, that does seem a bit of a faff, at least, for people who may be at medical risk anyway. G said, look, diabetics, because of their condition, may well be looking after their health better than the majority of drivers, only get a license for 3 years. That was David earlier on calling about what sounds, on the surface, discriminatory against older people paying more per year for a less valid license. Our hotels, says Tony, must be supported fully. They've had it hard enough. Perhaps if they were to change their business model and charge less, they may get the business they're calling for. We've all had to tighten our belts, and that applies to hoteliers. We need reasonably priced hotels, says Tony. Well, that's a point, but in the business hotels, as any hotelier will tell you, there is no unsold inventory. You simply can't sell last night's bedrooms tonight. It doesn't work that way. So the business moves on a daily basis. You can't sell yesterday's meals today. You can't sell sell yesterday's wedding reception today. It doesn't work that way. And running a hotel is a 24-hour-a-day job. So if anybody's got any bright ideas about how we can improve that, maybe you should be in the hotel business yourself. I sent a message yesterday, says Carol, about the sunken wall, collapsed wall at the Sunken Gardens. Maybe we could have a response from Douglas Corporation, who I stand responsible for this. Surely this is to be reconstructed before the influx of the visitors we hopefully will have. Well, we have invited Douglas Council on to Man in Line. As yet, no reply, but they're more than welcome to come on to talk about what Douglas is going to do in the near future with the new lineup of councillors and during TT and perhaps later on as well. So the invitation for Douglas Corporation is open now and remains open until whenever they want to come up and have a word. The airport car parks are ram jam full, says Cindy at the moment. have been for many weeks. In fact, if you look at the airport website, it advises, we're expecting car parks to be full at present. Please make alternative arrangements to arrive at the airport. So it'll be interesting to know where all the cars that are there have come from. Who owns them? Because they can't possibly all be people who are travelling, says Cindy. Good point. If you're in the south, take a look at the airport car park. It will be lovely to know who owns, and presumably that car park is owned by government, because Department of Infrastructure. Any way of checking who owns all the cars, multiple cars? Is it being used as a park and ride by people? Why are there so many cars there? Well, certainly revenue has been lost, but obviously this brand new airport director who's been appointed will no doubt get to the bottom of it and get some barriers in and start earning some revenue off it. Here's a message in, just said, I'm type 1 diabetic. I used to get a 10-year licence, never had a problem health-wise. Then they changed it to 3 years a little while back, apparently to comply with European rules, says Ian. I used to use my driving licence as ID, name and address on it. My new driving licence has my name but no address, so ID could possibly be a problem, says June.
Hello, Andy, this is Tony. Just a comment on your general thing that you've been doing this week. Global warming cannot be stopped. It's going to happen, and we need to stop running around in circles trying to stop it by cutting emissions. What we need to do is make sensible decisions about all future housing. We need to worry about things that are coming in the future, like long-term flooding, like drainage, like trees. We need to make sure that we're preparing ourselves for what's coming, instead of running around trying to hit a target that is self-imposed and which is broadcast as a crisis, which it's not. It's going to happen, because basically we're not contributing largely to pollution. It's coming from China, it's coming from Russia, and it's coming from India. And those are the three emitters that you can't control and are not being controlled by Mr. Gutierrez of the UN or anybody else. The UN is a waste of time because it's toothless. It doesn't do anything. Look at Ukraine. Have they managed to do anything? No. They condemn everything and they tell us what we should be doing, but we'll not be able to do that, full stop. So we need to change our focus as an island and stop worrying about trying to hit a theoretical target that's going to suit somebody's political agenda, and start worrying about the people that will be flooded in 10 years' time, start worrying about how they're going to stay warm, start worrying about building houses that have all the necessary stuff in them so they will be future-proofed and lower emissions, because it's a sensible thing to do, not because we're trying to hit a target. I just think we've lost our way here, because as usual, we're running around in circles after a very small group that think they know the answers to everything. We need to step back, refocus and say, how do we need to address the future? Not how do we need to address a target that's self-imposed? Just a comment. Good luck. Thank you very much for your time, Andy. Bye.
Tony, with his point about our green future, and we're running programs on Moneyline called Our Green Future, purely because it's going to happen anyway. We will have a different way of living in the future, and I think it's important that we own it as the public. We own it, and don't get pushed around by other people. We need to decide what's going to happen in our future. As Laurie Hooper said the other day, sell it on the basis that it's going to be cheaper, it's a cheaper way of life, that your bills will be lower. If it needs government money, i.e. public money, put in, let's put it in the right way. So we'll be talking to politicians, interested parties, more importantly, most importantly, you, your opinion on what our green future should be. And as Tony said, do you think the idea that we can stop global warming is fatuous, that we will never be able to control nature, and the three biggest polluters in the world, China, Russia and India, seemingly won't take a blind bit of notice of what other people say, and yet we, tiny polluters by comparison, 804,000 tons of carbon a year, tiny in comparison, that we have to do as we're told. But we have to find our way through it, because the future is coming.
Millie Chats of Ramsey.
Sometimes you need to roll out an extra bed. Miller Chaps have a wide range of affordable and superior single and double fold-up beds, along with guest beds, pillows and bedding. For an extra bed in seconds, visit Miller Chaps of Ramsey today.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
I always recommend Spectrum Windows to friends and family when they admire our home. Locally based Spectrum Windows install quality windows, doors and more right across the island with 10-year guarantees, superb workmanship and excellent service. I'm sending them round to see Duan as he's doing a new extension. I jokingly said I should be on commission, but there again, Spectrum's fantastic products sell themselves better than any salesman.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
At ShopRite, a big slice of our range is continually priced to match or better other supermarkets. We call it Price Match Plus, the plus being what others simply don't match. Like the choice and value you won't get elsewhere with brands like Sainsbury's. Up to 1,000 prices lowered with ShopRite Savers and no need to travel miles. Plus, the difference being locally owned makes. We're loyal supporters of local food producers and businesses and benefit the Manx economy directly. ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
The playoff semi-finals await for FC Isle of Man and they'll be aiming to move one step closer to promotion this weekend. The Ravens face Withenshaw Amateurs at the Bowl this Saturday, knowing victory would take them to that all-important playoff final in just over a week's time. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Withenshaw Amateurs from 6:30pm on Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary of this huge game on our AM 1368 and digital platforms.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Barry's with us now. Hi, Barry.
Hi, Andy. I know I haven't got much time, so I'll keep this short and sweet and straight to the point. In 2021, I launched a petition. I spoke to you about it before, was to request that the government set up a committee to investigate why Manx Gas refused to pay back. It's part of a refund rebate for 2020-2021. That we are aware that the MEA paid back their share of it recently, and most customers will have had that back now, but the other part never came. Earlier on this year, for the start of this year, the government announced that the Economic Policy Review Committee were going to look at all things gas, and including to investigate as to why Manx Gas didn't pay back their share of said refund rebate. In the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, Honourable Member for Timor, Chris Thomas, has been in front of the committee. And about 3 weeks ago, I was in front of the committee and I sat in front of them for 90 minutes. And it was good and it was interesting. And I appreciate the time that they gave us. But on Tuesday, the 12th of April, and I'm trying to save my voice because my throat's not very good. But on Tuesday, the 12th of April at 1:30 p.m. at the Timor building, Manx Gas representatives, I believe it's CEO Joe Cox, and I believe the managing director Aidan Baglow, will be in front of the committee, and they will have to, or they will be expected, I guess, to answer questions relating to what's happened over the last 5 years, in particular, and there will be some relevance, I'm sure, on the part of refunds. I'm hoping they're going to be asked, as I say, why they refuse to pay back their share of the 2020-2021 rebate, and I'm also that they're going to be asked as to why they continue to charge regulatory adjustments into 2021. I will say that then the adjustments were actually paid back following a complaint that I made to the OFT in 2021. But we also know now that in 2020, gas was average wholesale price was down to around about 13 to 15p per therm, whereas in 2022 now it's between £2.50 and £5 a therm. So it's hard to understand for somebody like me as to why regulatory adjustments were charged into 2021 when wholesale prices were so low. And sometime in the future as well, I think I'm hoping that the OFT will be brought in front of the committee to explain as to why they didn't reduce the ROCE in 2021 as well, and as to why it seems that they abandoned ship in 2020 when the Cabinet Office were undertaking talks with Manx Gas to start another regulatory agreement.
Okay, Barry, are you still there? I think we've lost Barry. But thanks for making that point about Manx Gas, Barry. I think your signal's drifted out. Thanks for calling us today. Here's a note in from Adam, who just said, I think it's great the government's looking at expanding tourism outside the TT and the MGP. Realistically, what do we have to entice families to the Isle of Man? We've got a lovely island, beautiful island, great beaches, interesting historical buildings, but nothing for young families. I've got an 11-year-old daughter who loves fun fairs, amusement arcades, and she was saying, why would these people come here? We've got nothing holiday about it. We've got nothing seaside about it. I know it's a catch-22 situation, as these attractions wouldn't exist without tourists, but tourists won't come without these attractions. So what do we do about it? Who, more importantly, do you think is going to put the money in there? Thanks for getting in touch today. Literally hundreds of emails and texts about the airport and the single-engined aircraft and what we're going to do about that. Obviously, everything can't be read out on air. We don't have time, but everything does get read. And if anything needs a response, we'll get in touch with you. Thanks for listening to Max Radio. And by the way, if you're listening as a podcast anywhere around the world, thank you for, in your thousands, listening to Man in Line all over the world. Expat Manxes and people just interested in the Isle of Man. Really appreciate it. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern, in charge of everything responsible on Man in Line. I'm Andy Wint, wishing you a wonderful weekend. Back on Monday with another Open Line.
WINT